B-Pod Studios.
So let's discuss with the man who is all over this sport. Anytime something like this comes up, you know he's going to have the freshest information. He is baseball's Hall of Fame journalist, Jason Stark, brought to us by DraftKings. Oh, Jason.
What's up, Mike?
I didn't even know what to say here. So let's try to dig into it from the start. All right. So let's go with, all right, first of all, tell me, what's the latest as far as testing goes? I know the Phillies were cleared, but is that the end of it, or do we have to have more information for them to be cleared to play?
Cleared is probably not the word I would use.
Okay.
All right, they've been tested daily since Sunday. So that's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Supposed to be tested again tomorrow. It looks like daily testing up till probably about Saturday at the earliest, right?
Yes.
And the fact that no Phillies have tested positive to this point is good news. But if you'll notice, the game scheduled here for Friday was rescheduled for Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
So why is that? Because the incubation period of the virus would suggest that if the Phillies were exposed and infected by playing the Marlins over this weekend, that those tests would start to show up, let's say today's Wednesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. That if they haven't had positive tests by Saturday, then they'll be cleared to play, and there's a pretty good chance that they dodged a bullet here.
Okay, so let's go back to the start, and let's go back to the Sunday game where there are medical experts saying that there were enough, before we even had the onslaught of positive tests in the Marlins, there were enough positive tests to consider it an outbreak, whereby it would have been irresponsible to play. Why didn't Major League Baseball step in, and why was it just allowed to be the players who decided?
Okay, it wasn't quite that simple, but I'll take it back even a little farther than that, because 3 weeks ago, Mike, I wrote a story about this exact thing. What would happen if there was an outbreak on one team? How would it be handled? There weren't a lot of answers then. There weren't a lot of answers Sunday. And so, look, Major League Baseball was in the loop to a point. They were definitely aware of the positive test, because all positive tests get reported to the commissioner's office. And they were, you know, they had instituted contact tracing on the Marlins players at that point. They were monitoring symptoms of other players. And because they had no other positive tests besides four players, and they had no other players reporting symptoms, their mindset was, we're not going to intervene. So at that point, it really shifted into the hands of the Marlins. Now, the Marlins people have told me that, you know, their front office was in the loop. I can't tell you exactly how aggressively they were in the loop. The Phillies were informed of something. Matt Klentak just suggested that they weren't aware that many players had tested positive. So there are a lot of questions to be asked. But look, I was in on all the post-game stuff on the Marlins side on Sunday. It came through loud and clear. They never seriously considered not playing the game. It's incredible, but that's the case.
All right, I understand like why players would want to play. I get that,
right?
Totally, right? But here's what I'm saying. If leadership is leadership, and I would expect that a commissioner would be proactive enough, because let's look at the baseball protocol. I mean, they think they have a protocol, right? But we're talking about this type of thing where you're allowed to go home and freely come and go wherever you want. This is a tenuous protocol. So I would think that leadership would say, okay, four is enough for us to cancel this game and then figure out where we go from here.
Well, I mean, the commissioner appeared on MLB Network the next day, correct?
Yes.
And what did he say?
He said it didn't rise to the level.
Didn't rise to the level.
But then I'm looking at these medical experts and say, no, that certainly does rise to a level.
I've talked to a bunch of them, not just the two that I quoted in that story on Sunday, Monday. Like every single infectious disease expert I've spoken with has told me, like going back again 3 weeks ago, that three or four quick positive test results on a team constitutes an outbreak. You don't need 10. You don't need 16, which is what the Marlins have now. You only need a few because that's the evidence that you need that there is internal spread. Then it became a super spreader event because no precautions were taken. There's some holes in the protocols. This is clear. Now, Major League Baseball is looking at this as there's only one team that has had all these positive tests. The other 29 teams have had no positive tests. Therefore, we think this is just one team that went off the rails, and it's not a problem for the sport as a whole, so we're going to try to keep playing. But there are a lot of questions just about that stance, don't you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, I get that that would be their stance, and they're going to try to get the season in, and if something like this happens to other teams, obviously then you take the more drastic measures. I get that. Let's take the Marlins for example. Now, the number is up to 17 now. Is it possible?
It's 16 players.
16 players and one what?
And two coaches.
Two coaches, all right. So
that we know.
That's 18. All right,
and a member of the Phillies visiting clubhouse staff, at least one.
All right. So let's look at the Marlins. Could the Major League Baseball go, we have to sacrifice the Marlins from this?
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
There have been a lot of questions to that effect, and you know, it's incredible that this happened to the Marlins because, like, if you did fan surveys of who's the team you care about most, the Marlins would be the last.
Yes.
They have the fewest people in America who care about their team.
Yes.
Nevertheless, okay, they are a major league team. Human beings play on their team. They have families. Okay, they play in a community that is a hot spot right now. They play other teams. They don't just play intra-squad games. They were in our town. They played the Phillies. They were exposed to the Phillies for 3 days. Just because they're the Marlins doesn't mean we shouldn't take it seriously. I think it's a very fair question to ask. If 16 Dodgers had tested positive, how different would the sport look? I know how they've answered those questions, but it's certainly fair to raise them.
It's an easier decision just because of the point you just made. And it's unfair to look at it that way, but let's face it, the baseball will go on without the Marlins, and the payoff money. Like, you compensate the team, you compensate the players. And it's just one of those things, and nobody even thinks twice about it. And it's the easiest decision they can make, even though it's not fair.
The one team that has not been promised it'll get paid is the Marlins.
Yeah.
the Phillies, the union raised objections on the part of the Phillies, Yankees, and Nationals.
Yeah.
That they're innocent bystanders. They did nothing wrong. They deserve to get paid, despite what it says in the agreement. And Major League Baseball agreed. It's interesting that they have not agreed to pay the Marlins. they seem very interested in just playing the blame game with the Marlins.
Yeah.
But again, they are a Major League team. Last time I looked.
Yes, they are. So the Phillies are expected to play them next week. I'm sure that the Phillies, you don't think it's going to happen?
I don't think they're going to play the Marlins. No.
All right. So what will they do?
Okay. Understand that everything depends on the testing over the next few days, the testing involving the Phillies and the Marlins in particular. But Major League Baseball, by shifting the Yankees from playing the Phillies to playing the Orioles, has laid the groundwork for the Marlins and Phillies essentially to flip schedules. And where the, so the Marlins, if they play at all, could play the Orioles. That's the team the Yankees were supposed to play.
Uh-huh.
And the Yankees could play the Phillies. I don't know where that's going to happen, but I think the tentative plan, if all goes quote-unquote well, is the Phillies would play the Yankees somewhere next week.
Okay, so they would put off what people that are going to Miami to play the Marlins and change the schedule completely around if the Marlins survive this whole thing?
I've never seen anything like this. They are literally making up the schedule, remaking up the schedule, and changing rules as they go along. As Matt Gelb just tweeted, it looks like they're going to play the Blue Jays in Philadelphia on Saturday as the road team and play probably 2 7-inning games. It could be a 9-inning game and a 7-inning game if the players sign off on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then instead of following their schedule, they would then go play the Yankees somewhere. I don't know if it's a 3-game series. I don't know if it's a 4-game series. I don't know if they would they would just take what was supposed to happen Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday here this week and just do it again next week. We don't know all the answers. They're waiting on the test results.
All right.
nothing like it.
It's amazing. All right, so let's just, I know only 3 games are in the book here. But it was alarming enough for me to, because the biggest fear of Philly fans as he looked at this team was, well, their bullpen's really not that good. And it showed up early. And I thought a couple of bad managerial decisions where Kapler would have got destroyed for him and Girardi got away with him. But what happens now with this pen? They decided to go with a couple of non-roster guys and a couple of leftover unsuccessful minor league guys to tack on to this bullpen. What do they do now?
Well, I don't see how they have much alternative. They've committed to this group. Like I told Jason last week when I was on, that I did not see any certainty in the bullpen at all, and I didn't see any kind of clear path to Hector Neris even. The one thing is, like, Joe Girardi's strength has always been handling the bullpen, and you know, you would think that if they're going to figure this out, Joe's really good at this. Brian Price is really good at this. They, you know, if anybody can do it, you would think they would do it. But you don't have 6 months to figure it out. There's so much urgency to figuring it out right now. That's why you have a problem. If you experiment, which is what they've pretty much done, and it doesn't work, like every game counts as 2.7 games. Every series is basically the equivalent of an NFL Sunday.
Yes.
Right?
I agree. So, like, let's look at the two things that he did that I disagree with right away. He brings Rosso in game one, and the kid was just all over the place. And he brings in Cole Irvin. Now, Velasquez is a maddening guy, and I didn't know how much more they were going to get out of him. But they got him out of there after a clean inning to bring in Cole Irvin. Now, I don't know. If Kapler had done something like that, he'd be destroyed.
He would. Well, look. Joe has, there's a reason that Joe Girardi has credibility. You know, he built that up. He earned that. He's got that working capital.
Uh-huh.
And, all right, Ramon Rosso, he, big arm. He showed him a lot of swing and miss. That's why he was on the team. It was a little bit of a surprising choice, but what's the clear choice?
There isn't. And I'm just saying, in a hold situation, to bring that kid in, knowing these games mean so much. I'd like to see him in with a 4-run lead to get his feet down. You know, that's all I looked at.
I can't believe that Liriano didn't make the team. I really can't. Francisco Liriano is a major league pitcher, and he was good last year.
He went to cash, though.
That was a factor, but
yeah.
Wait a second. I mean, I thought this was a big year.
Yeah. Some of these decisions they make cash wise with these non roster players.
That's, there's no doubt that's true, and it was especially true in the bullpen. And, I mean, the stance John Middleton has taken heading into this season, from what we can gather, is I don't want to go over the threshold leading in. If we earn the right to go over the threshold in midseason, fine, let's do it, if we have that look. But these games leading up to that deadline are not your ordinary first week of the season games.
You're absolutely right. It's the wrong way of looking at it. All right, Jason, listen, hang in there, because something could change like every other minute.
Oh, you have no idea.
And we know you'll be all over it, so keep us in the loop.
Mike, always good to talk to you, man.
All right, Jason. There he is. Jason Stark, brought to us by DraftKings.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.